Okay, hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister, Kix. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
We're going to jump right in. We got a fun app today, a fun couple episodes to talk about today. I really had a great time watching that this morning.
While the world has moved on from Halloween in fall season, we have not, and that is our prerogative and our...
Is that your fucking phone?
Yeah.
I literally can't with you. Yes, we're going to keep talking about Halloween. Whatever. I'm mad at you now, so we're just going to bring in the guests.
Great, okay.
No, we are joined today by two of our best friends in the whole world who don't watch reality TV, but we felt that this was like a great, I shouldn't say don't watch reality TV. We'll talk about that in a second. But don't watch Bravo, but we felt like this is a great entry, to having them on, just watching a rogue episode in the middle of a season that they know nothing about. So we are joined by, Laura and Steven Markarian. You can follow Laura at, Lauface514 on Instagram and then Steven at Steven Markarian on Instagram. You might get some follows after today. And welcome to the pod.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited.
I know. Really so exciting to have you here. How does it
feel?
For
really like some iconic television of like Real Housewives.
Oh,
these are some like one-liners.
I was entertained from beginning to end.
I would say that the word I would use was riveted.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, I was watching we'll get into it in a second more, but I was watching this episode and it made me, y'all don't know this, but Roni has gotten a bit not good. And after this season, things like just kind of took a turn. There's been two seasons after the season that we watched today. Well, not the season, the episodes we watched today, but after this one, things just kind of like got like, they're just in a slump. So watching this just shot like, energy through my veins.
It made
because
me
I
miss Bethany.
Bethany, yeah. I know.
Oh, she's not on anymore.
Honestly, she's not on.
Oh, but neither, she's come back.
A lot of them are not on anymore. Dorinda, Tinsley, and Bethany are all not on anymore.
Wait, hold on. And I saw that you posted something about Ramona and her making terrible remarks. Is she still on in the P?
She is still on, regardless of being a fucking racist. So what happened was she told
Okay.
Well, they had hired their first black cast member in season 12 or 13, yeah. Which is
13
for the New York one.
Yeah, which is insane. First of all, they've never had a non-white person on. And supposedly production filed a race like complaint with like Bravo, NBC Universal, HR because while they were filming, there's a scene where Ebony, the black cast member, she left like a party because she was mad, and Ramona says, well, all the cameras are rolling, which they cut this out, but she says, there's a reason we don't have black people on the show.
No, that's gonna be a hard no.
Yeah,
that is unacceptable.
No, it's bad. And she's also liked Instagram posts about like anti-COVID vaccine.
Yeah, comparing the vaccine to like the Holocaust.
Nazi Germany. And
she's very, yeah, so what's her name? Margaret, what's her name?
Tommy Loren.
No, what's the senator that I fucking hate?
Margaret something white.
The three-name one.
The white one.
Margaret Taylor Greene.
Yes, yeah. she's one of those motherfuckers. I hate her.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a no for me.
Well, before we get into Roni, we have a couple things we do need to talk about. First, we have to ask both of you the question we ask all of our guests, and that is, what reality TV made you a dumpster diva? Now, I know, obviously, that you don't view reality so much, but please take it away.
I'm ready.
Yes, and it can be anything new, old, in between.
It doesn't have to be
any
Bravo.
Network.
Yeah.
Someone said the Muppets once, so it could be anything.
Is that considered reality television?
Who said that?
Comedy. Megan Galley said Muppets were her like intro to like comedy.
Oh, but that wasn't the question.
We talked about it during this question.
Okay. Laura, Steven, take it away.
Okay. I feel like our answer is the same.
Mine might be.
You're absolutely right. For me, it's Sister Wives, and I'm not ashamed. And I'm here. I'm here whenever you're ready. I'm here to do a full series.
We're both here. We've been watching them for years.
Very topical too. There's new. They're in the news these days because
I mean, there's so many of them that I.
And the children are endless.
But
we have an episode for a year based on each child.
I've really grown to love and support them, and I wish them all the best.
For sure, for sure. We could maybe we should do our own podcast.
About sister wives.
I have a lot to say.
Polyamory diving into all things polyamory.
No, but that put me straight in the dumpster.
We've seen the strengths. We've seen the weaknesses. We got it. We're ready.
Just remind me again, which one? I always ask you this. I'm always like, now, is this the one that got catfished? Who is the one that got catfished?
Mary. Oh, Mary, bless. The first wife.
We stand Mary.
We stand her. She could only have one child.
I know.
And then conveniently, they got into polygamy.
And then...
No, she didn't even have... Did she even have... She didn't even have the kid by then.
I thought that she never had children. I thought that she, like, was one. Infertile.
One.
Well, I
Mariah. Basically... Not Mariah. Yeah, Mariah. Yeah. Oh, I'm so good.
See,
yeah,
she, I love
You're
Mary.
Saying so many things I literally have no fucking clue about.
Really? You don't even know who they are? I mean, I really love Mary, and I feel really bad for Mary because, like, so what's interesting actually is on Houses of Salt Lake City right now, there is a storyline that's kind of playing out how Mary and what's his name? What's the husband? Kind of how they're. Polyamory kind of began. There's a woman on Salt Lake City whose husband wants to have more children, and she's like, she's had like 15 miscarriages, and she's like, I cannot, like, the babies we have are like miracles that they happen. They have three children.
Oh, okay.
But like,
more.
21. He was like, I've always wanted a big family.
Yeah. She's had 13 miscarriages and a stillborn, and he still wants her to try to have another child. And she's like, I don't want to. And he says, well, then what are your thoughts on getting a second wife? And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? And
he's being dead serious.
Yeah.
That's also saying that the only reason that this other whole human being would be in their family as a baby maker.
But then also, is that what all she is? Like, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's horrible.
That is really bad.
No, I don't support that. I don't support that.
No. But I am going to say something. I think it's partially because I'm gay and so many people have open relationships in the gay community. I do not and not interested in that. But what I will say is I actually do kind of like get the like aspect of it because like if it's done in a positive way and if women can also have brother husbands
exactly.
Yeah, what is that?
What, brother spouses? What would it be called?
Like, what's the word there? It feels weird to say brother husband.
Yeah. It's not even, it's not allowed, which.
Right.
Well, right.
The misogyny runs
deep.
But I hear you. I know what you're saying. And I do.
I get the aspect of community, like the idea of like having like a whole like city block that is just like your people. I'm like,
that you
I kind of get it.
Like, it's weird.
No, take the sex out of it. Like, I just mean, like, I get the community aspect of, like, having,
then
like...
make friends.
One of their, like, opening, like, credit things, when they, like, look at the camera. Oh, I think, is it Janelle's? It's like, I married the family, not the man.
Yeah, I didn't want the man, or didn't want just the man. I wanted
the family. Yes.
Wait, they do, like, housewife intros?
Yes. Yes.
Kicks.
Which
I'm
honestly,
telling you, if you watch,
who is it that had the really funny one in the episodes we watched?
Something Sonya like being a bottom.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I wrote that down. Yeah.
I have a lot of. Well, we'll talk.
Sorry,
about it, but basically, wrap up sister wives talking about that. I agree with you, and if you watch the earlier seasons, especially when all the kids were really little. It's like really, I mean, all the kids, it's interesting when they're interviewed, say they would never change the way that they were brought up because the fact they were never lonely. They were never like alone. They loved growing up with all their siblings. But interestingly, none of them are choosing plural marriage for their lives.
Like
they're all saying like, I could never be sharing my partner with somebody else. But like, I love that I grew up with this whole community is
also changed because they obviously were originally in an enormous, not an enormous house, but they were in one house in the first like two seasons. And
like
then
each wife had their own like
floor
wing,
sort of
like with a full, with like a kitchen. And it's like, It's just fascinating.
But then they moved to a cul-de-sac, and they each had their own house, and then things started to go awry.
I heard, yeah. But then they built a house, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then
now they're building
like a mega mansion, right?
Originally, but now they're on just property and they're building their own houses again. But like in the middle of
Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, Flagstaff is gorgeous, but. Actually, this is really derailing, but I have never watched Big Love, which is like not a reality TV show, but I've heard it's amazing.
Part of me is like, it shouldn't, because polyamory is illegal.
In Salt Lake.
Part of me thinks that it shouldn't be.
No, not even that it's illegal, but the marriage aspect is.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, so it's like the legal.
The legal part.
They go back to Utah every so often to like protest.
Well great.
In the words in the words of Lin-Manuel Miranda, love is love is love is love is love. So I really kind of get it. I'm like, why not?
And I think the issues, when you hear the wives all talk, like they have had it with, like they are all so usually united against him. It's honestly so comical. Like, they don't like get pushed around by him is what I'm trying to say.
I actually don't know why he actually wants to be in polygamy anymore based on how they treat him sometimes. He deserves all of it. He deserves all of it. But I don't know why he still
wants
it. What's
his name? Cody with a K, right? Like a Kardashian.
Yes.
So it's one family, not multiple families. It's just one dude
Is a show called, do you watch Seeking Sister Wife?
I think we've seen one episode of it, but
it didn't spark in the same way as the Bronx.
I really like Seeking Sister Wife. It was like different couples who were all seeking additional wives. Some who had never.
There's like a game show, reality bachelorette style TV show in there.
Yeah. Ooh, like that. I would watch that.
I would watch that for
some
sure.
Of the sister. So they meet other families sometimes on the show, and they bring them on. And one or a few of them, two of the wives have been sisters.
Yeah,
with the same.
Yeah,
no. Now that.
But apparently, that's normal in the culture.
Wait, there's like blood sisters.
Yes,
yeah. And they both married.
I guess that's not incestuous technically, but
no. But it's for those reasons, them out.
Can you imagine looking at your sister and being like, that guy fuck you too? Also, like Cody of all people, I'm like, how did this motherfucker land four women?
Wait, I'm gonna Google him. I don't even know what this man looks like.
Look him up. The long locks
really lose me.
Well, the receding hairline is so far back now.
Yeah, and then the ponytail.
But then it goes so long. Yeah.
Yes.
Because they have like reunions and everything. Like
yes.
I know.
They had Tamron Hall do the reunion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Tamron. Well, they get like higher ratings than like some Bravo shows. Like most Housewife shows, like they compete.
God,
but also the episodes are years long. You're watching it for, it seems like it's 2 hours long sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, again, at 10 out of 10.
Also, they did a whole season during the pandemic, and they were doing Zoom.
They were filming themselves with their phones.
Oh, that was like...
They are desperate, because they're like, this is all we have.
But they were separated this time by like miles apart, because the houses aren't built, so they're all in different parts.
And there was like the drama of some of the family was like, but we're family, we should all be together. And then some of the family was like, no, COVID, households. And there was like just big drama with
God, I don't like
that. And Mary had a bed and breakfast she had to go back and attend to. It was, the drama was high.
Can you, before we, I just need you to brief Kix on what happened with the catfishing.
Sure.
I think I do know. Tom, I think you've talked about it, but I would love to hear this again.
Yeah. So Mary, bless, kind of is the rejected wife. Yeah. I mean, they basically for a while have been, while she's still in the family, they have been basically separated, but like without getting divorced. She was the only one, actually this is kind of sweet, she was the only one that was legally married. She was the first one, but then Robin, the fourth wife,
the young beautiful wife.
She had kids from another marriage that weren't Cody's.
David, I have a character map open.
Incredible.
Can you send that to me?
I'm gonna help you.
Wait, can you send that to me?
Yes. Okay, yeah. Wait, keep going, because I have a comment on this character map.
Okay. So basically, Mary agreed to get a divorce legally from Cody so that he could legally marry Robin.
And no, but it was to adopt her kids.
Right, to adopt her kids.
Because her kids aren't, well, he now has kids with her.
It is so sweet, but it created...
it was a whole season storyline.
Still finding that it's weird.
Mary was still emotional about it. Yep. And then basically, Mary met somebody online. I don't know, through Facebook?
I think it might have been. It was very casual.
And it was...
this story makes me laugh every time.
A friend that started off as a friend. And then basically she ended up in a like emotional relationship with this person.
Mm-hmm. Who she thought was a man.
But she was also like threatening her and the family.
Like releasing information, I think.
So it was like equal parts like, I want to be with you, but also I'm going to ruin you.
Yeah.
And then come to find out it's not a man at all.
It's a woman.
and it was,
that was a tough season. That was a really tough season.
Pretty traumatic. Okay, so Mary's brother
was married to Janelle.
No, Tom.
Oh.
Wait, I don't think I knew this information.
That's what the family tree says.
Wait, that is an in-depth tree.
I need this tree.
Mary's brother / Janelle's first husband. His name's Adam Barber. And he looks like polygamous.
If you want a real look up their wedding photos, specifically Christine's, who I am a Christine stan.
Honestly,
and I'm actually so proud of her. I'm so proud of her for leaving.
We support Christine and her.
Janelle's the bitch, right?
Janelle has gone on a beautiful journey.
A beautiful, beautiful journey. From
what a character arc.
She's had such an arc, and she's gone on a weight loss journey. She's feeling so good about herself.
Do you follow them on Instagram? Like, how committed are we?
Yes.
Yes. Great.
In the beginning, she was a monster, wasn't she? I always thought that she was not very nice to the other wives.
Her and Mary have a lot of conflict. A
lot of conflict.
But they've been working through their issues. They went to therapy.
Yeah, they go to a family therapist, which I find also fascinating. Like, all of the wives and Cody will go together sometimes, or they'll see her separately. It's just...
Boy, that therapist.
I know.
That's a lot. Yeah. Wait, Steven, is this also your journey with reality TV?
I love Sister Wives, of course. Always looking for it when it's on Sunday nights. But
do you know the time?
Yeah, of course. I think it's at 7.
That's a really Sundays. That it would be at 7. That's such an early time for a television show. So all the Mormons can curl up and watch at 7.
Exactly. I actually feel like the first memory of like reality TV I had was either Big Brother, I think I started watching in like fourth grade, or The Osbournes. My family loved The Osbournes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes, I don't know why, but they loved
Tom.
them. We loved watching the conflict.
I don't like any of them. I've never liked really any of them.
It was a
I remember watching it and enjoying it.
They always had creative storylines going on.
The darkest part of the Osbournes to me that no one talks about is that there is a third kid that just wouldn't film.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking dark. Like, that she would be like, they filmed like 6 seasons or more of that show.
Yeah,
and she just
so
would
long.
Like hide behind the cameras. Like, I'm like, why don't we just not do the show?
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's probably the smart one out of the bunch. Look, you don't know her name really, right? She's flying under the radar, collecting that money from Mr. Osborne.
Ozzy?
Oh, that's good.
Ozzy.
That's his name. That's his name.
Ozzy, yes, of course. Yes. But yes, no, I love, I mean, Big Brother, we've talked about that before.
I love Big Brother.
And recently this year for us, Love Island.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Also, Tom is recent to Love Island.
I did watch most of the last US season. I stopped watching when our beloved Cache went home. I just got mad.
Yeah, understandably so.
I know. She deserved better.
Yet she's really. With him now.
I
mean,
not...
maybe if she's happy, then I'm happy for her.
He was
a fuckboy.
But had no either had no idea that he was a fuckboy or
Cache and Cinco are their names, Kix.
Yes, I'm familiar. Okay. I didn't watch it, but I, of course, know the players.
We also loved Shannon.
But
well, that gets dark. But yes, I love Shannon.
That was sad, but loved Shannon.
It was so funny. So this girl from like, she from like Long Island or New Jersey or something? They bring on this other woman Kicks that is from her hometown that is like the other she's like the hometown like harlot, like she's like this like young like buxom woman, and Shannon is like that girl like is best friends with my sister and she's a slut. It was so good, and she kind of was a slut, and I mean that love.
But you know what? You're on Love Island.
You're on Love Island. Be
slutty. I was very to slut it up.
Yeah.
Confused with Love Island more was what are the rules? How do you win?
We're like, how do you win?
There's no rules.
You win. You win because you're the fan favorite.
Right.
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 And I think we missed that aspect of
it. We didn't look up.
We could have voted. I think wasn't
yes, you can. Yeah, you can vote. Which is weird.
They really got me at Casa Amor. I did not know about Casa Amor because I've always started Love Island, but I can never get into it. And so this is the first time we got to Casa Amor, and I was like, oh, this is some messy shit. Sorry, that guy, I think his name's Will. Yuck. He pissed me off, and I can't believe that they're together.
I know. Yeah.
They'll break up. They all break up. I don't think there's one couple that's still together.
Is Alaska with Corey? I call her Alaska.
Oh, Olivia? I'm pretty sure they're together.
No, I mean like the past seasons. Like I feel like they'll be together for like max a year.
Yes.
Nothing.
Yeah. Right.
I really don't think there's a couple that's still together, even from like the original seasons in UK.
Yeah.
Well, it also gets darker, but.
Yeah. So speaking of dark.
Okay. So today, for today's throwback episode, we are wrapping up our like fall coverage before we head into holiday episodes. And this is Real Housewives of New York City, season 11, episodes 5-7. I know that's a lot of episodes. The seventh episode is kind of just like the beginning is a little bit at the Berkshire. So it's mostly end of 5 and 6 and all of 6. We're at the Berkshires. It is Halloween time. This is Bethany's last season. This is also the season This is also the season that we are introduced to one season wonder, Barbara, who doesn't fit in at all.
Cannot wait to talk about Barbara.
That's old Leah Remini.
Yes. And yes. Also she ran for mayor.
She ran for New York City mayor. She also is a she works in construction, and I thought it was so such a missed opportunity that no one called her Barb the Builder.
Yeah, really.
Like, why did that name not stick? Like, she literally, her housewife's like product that she sold, like as the show was airing, was a toolbox.
Yeah, she's wild, and she's like, what we see a little bit on this episode. The girls are like, I've heard the rumors, but she's like openly bisexual,
which freaks them out.
They don't know what to do.
You know what though? I'm sorry, Sonia.
Sonia,
you're gay. You love Bethany. I don't know what to tell you, and that's okay. And I want her to
the jealousy.
I thought there was so much
sexual tension between Sonia and Barbara. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Sonia wants her box licked.
immediately.
I think she just wants it licked by anyone. I think she's an equal opportunist.
You don't think Bethany specifically?
Wait, you don't think? Oh no, I just think when Sonia gets drunk, she just like wants to hook up with anyone that's around her.
She kept being like, "Get away from basically my girl." She
was, girl.
My girlfriend Bethany. Like she was mad that Barbara was into Bethany. Yeah. It's fine.
Poor Barbara.
For that.
But I could never see Sonia actually dating a woman. I could see her just like having sex with women, but dating men.
All right.
Sonia is a big old pot store. Pot store. Jesus, pot stir.
Yeah. I mean, she's been on the show for so long. Yeah, that's New York City, though. They're all so good at their jobs as housewives that like. Yeah.
Well, you probably know the insides of this. Do the producers have to just like give them a little bit of nudge, right?
Not and much. Information?
No.
No. I mean, what they do is like what they essentially how it runs, because every time a new housewife like comes off of a first season, I more like 9 out of 10 times, they always say, like, on a reunion or Watch What Happens Live or an interview, they're always like, I didn't understand how real it was. Like, everyone's always like, I'm confused at how real it is. Like I thought this whole thing was, like, kind of fake. What is fake about these shows is, like, not fake, like, what is set up is, like, producers have to call restaurants and be like, hey, we need to film a scene. They want to get lunch. Can we use your space? Because they have, like, to approve
Tinsley,
of that.
Yeah, and Tinsley at the doctor's office. Like, those things. They have to, like, prep in advance. Yeah,
and I'm sure the story producers are like, what are you doing today? Like, what are you doing today for your scene? We're coming to film. Do something. You know, like, that stuff is, of course, produced. But, like, the actual interactions, like, are not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the fish room?
Well, let's start. Okay, so let's start at the top. I'm going to walk us through from episode 5 to 7, and we'll certainly get to the fish room. So episode 5 is kind of like just not much in the Berkshires, but we get a couple little scenes that are chef's kiss. One is Tinsley. You guys got to meet Dale, which Tinsley's mother. Dale.
Gem.
She's a Southern Belle.
We love her.
And also so scary.
It's a little scary.
She's horrifying. Yeah. Her crying at, did you guys see her tearing up when the doctor was talking about Tinsley's TMJ?
Which, by the way,
did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that.
No, she's in the corner being like,
No, y'all, there is an iconic scene with Dale and Tinsley where, speaking of crying, where I think it's the season before this, Tinsley's, like, whole storyline is that she wants to, like, have a baby. And she had frozen her eggs. And so they go to the doctor who has the eggs in the cooler. And they, like, they give her a picture. It's literally a photo of her egg, okay? It's just a picture of the egg. She's holding it with her mom, and they're like, Tins, that one day could be that could be a baby one day. And Tinsley's like, I know, mom. And Dale's like, I just can't believe, I'm so proud of you for having that egg. And it's like, y'all realize, like, there's a lot of stuff that need to happen before we're like, that's a baby.
Oh, God. It's so weird. It's so weird. And I do miss her. She's not on the show.
There was a funny moment with her. Someone snubbed her at the dog show.
Yeah, it was Ramona.
Was it Ramona?
Yeah.
Well, the whole storyline is ridiculous. She's like, I want to get back to me, so I'm gonna start doing charity again.
So, Lauren Steven, if you don't know, and the viewers are, or the listeners are like, we all know, so don't talk about this. But, Gossip Girl started. The book is written, like, loosely on Tinsley's life.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm shook.
Tinsley was essentially like the Paris Hilton of New York, while Paris and Kim were like running LA. Like in the early 2000s, Tinsley was like the it girl of New York. Like she was at all the parties. She had a show on like network television. Like
walking runways and like being at the charity events. Yeah. And so that's kind of what she's alluding to in this is like she wants to get back to her old New York self. Like,
understood. Okay, wow. I love to know that. Thank you.
And we then learned that ever since she got arrested for stalking her ex-husband, she's had TMJ.
Does anyone know what TMJ stands for? Steven, I'm looking at you.
Oh, I don't know. I just know that it really affects your jaw.
It's definitely mouth jam. Like, there has to be something with
mouth jam. Because she kept saying
too much jaw. Tight motherfucking jaw.
I like that one.
Okay, yeah, what does it stand for?
Oh, my fuck. Okay. Temper more...
Use your words.
Temporomandibular joint.
So no jaw, no mouth? That seems like a missed opportunity.
Really?
Look at that. Oh, look at that long word.
Oh my God. It's all one word. Temporomandibular joint, maybe. Is that
Thank you. That's right. No, but something like that. Oh, here we go. Temporomandibular.
Oh.
Wow.
It just spelled it out.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
I think too much jaw is pretty good.
I do too.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Laura.
In my mind, it was like I just couldn't stop thinking about how I don't know what TMJ stands for, and certainly Tinsley doesn't. But she's sitting there talking about TMJ, and I'm like,
I thought it was just
no one knows what it means.
Botox.
Well, yeah, apparently if you get enough Botox, it goes away. I'm like, I don't really understand if you just, because doesn't Botox tighten things? Like, do you really want, I don't understand the logic behind that. Like, but
that it would loosen it.
Yeah.
Right? You say like in the joint it would loosen. Also, she was getting it in her forehead at the same time. I guess you have the price of one.
If you're there.
Dale was like, us Mormons, we don't, we love a tight forehead.
Maybe Dale should have been your Halloween costume.
Dale's an icon. The missed opportunity is Dale not being a friend of ever on
Well, okay. Well, apparently they tested a reality show with Dale and Deandra's mom. What's Deandra's mom? Mama D. There's a housewife of Dallas whose mom is like a Southern Belle icon too. Apparently, like, they tested some sort of show for Bravo with them, but it didn't pass. Yeah. About moms or something. I don't know. We also get this Ramona Sonia like stroll. And the only reason I bring it up is because we have two really great quotes from it. One is Ramona's talking about a date she went on. And Sonia goes, and Ramona says, like, he has a great personality. And she goes, well, you mean he's ugly? Because when someone says a girl has a great personality, it just means she isn't good looking.
Yes.
And then Ramona goes, I admit it. I'm in hot sex.
I didn't really like
she reminds me of the woman from Sex and the City, Kim Cattrall, that character in Sex and the City, Ramona. No, general. I don't know.
No shade to Ramona, but I think Ramona wishes.
Ramona wishes. Definitely.
The throwback to her, Ramona on the runway had me truly. I mean, I've seen that before. I have seen that before. I don't know, like a meme or something, but I cackled out loud. That is unbelievable.
Truly deer in headlights.
It's hilarious. I really want you guys to go back from the beginning and watch all of it, because Roni is truly.
Talked about this. Yeah, this is our next venture.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the episodes that we watched.
I would. here's where I would start. I always, when people ask like, because Bradley watched Roni for the first time in COVID, like in the pandemic, because he was like watching shows, like trying to find shows to binge. And he was like, Tom, where do I start with Roni? And I always say, if you want to start like right in the middle, so you kind of like get what's going on, you start with the first season that Bethany returns, which is season 8. So season 8, 9, 10, 11 is like the like second renaissance they had of like really, really stellar television. So, and season 8 is kind of, that's when that's Dorinda's first season. There's a lot of newness in that season. So it's, you don't feel like you're picking up in the middle of anything. Like, it kind of starts a new era for them. So I suggest going 8 and then on, and then going back, because it is really good always. But yeah. So we also get the intro that we are going to the Berkshires, which, yay, we love the Berkshires. They go every year, just to let you guys know. Ever since Dorinda has been on the show, they always do a trip to the Berkshires that then coined the Berserkshires, because every time they go to the Berkshires, there is chaos because they're just locked in this like probably haunted house for like at least 2 nights.
There are children somewhere
running
ghosts,
around in there.
It's a mess.
Sonia also says,
made me laugh also.
So this is the only, usually they go at Christmas time, and Christmas is decked out and it's so fun. The Halloween decorations were a bit frightening. Like, not
also
in
her
out of control.
I loved meeting her sister.
So, I'm not her. So
me
Melinda.
Too. I forgot that we met her.
So Melinda.
Melinda?
Her name's Melinda, which is an LOL. Dorinda and Melinda. She, every year that they go for Christmas time, she always has to dress up like Santa. And she like comes to the house and delivers gifts to the housewives.
I did see
she
that.
She has Santa energy. She does.
Big Santa energy.
Is she gay?
It has to be. Talk about gay. That's if I've ever seen a Leslie, that's her, I think.
Talking about vegetables?
Oh, yeah. She grows. She can grow anything.
Yeah.
Like that.
I can grow anything.
I feel like Steven, you and Melinda could really hit it off.
Probably. We can swap gardening tips.
Wait. Before we talk about the actual Berkshires, we also had that weird like yacht lunch, like that, where it was so bizarre. And
you could tell they were testing a house.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And Ramona was like, "Well, darling, it's not supposed to smell like fish." We're talking about like vaginas.
Yeah,
that's what she was definitely being like. She was essentially auditioning for like a friend of or full time.
Is that a track in the show?
Yeah, Barbara. So Barbara is a friend of. So Barbara, if you notice in the intro, she's not holding an apple. So she's there's always cast members. There's like full time cast members, and then there's friends of. So Barb, for instance, is a friend of. She like gets paid to be on the show. She shows up for like an episode of the reunion, but she like friend ofs. They you don't like often see anything about their lives or things like that. So most seasons there is a friend of. Just to kind of like it's a way to like test a new housewife.
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel like it's a friend.
Also the people who are in interviews are also people getting paid.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Which I thought was interesting that Tinsley's mom had an interview. I don't remember that.
Yeah, she gets a lot of interviews actually because they realize how like, I mean, she's made for television.
Yeah. And favorite.
Dale. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we get to the Berkshires and once again, it's decorated for Halloween and I remember seeing this episode for the first time and I still think about it all the time about that zombie that's like in the lawn that looks exactly like Bethany. It looks when they did the cut when Ramona was like, oh, look, that's Bethany. It looks like Bethany. and then they cut to like season 8 of Bethany crying on the bed. I'm like, oh my God, it literally looks like her crying.
It really does.
Yeah. So brutal. Well, and that, so brutal.
So many, like, what was the one with the head and the crystal ball?
That was the Countess.
Yeah, wild. Like the haunted. Yeah, that was the Countess.
Yeah. And then. Go ahead.
A brilliant editing moment. I forget later where they cut to the vampire, blow up vampire coming out of
talking. It's like.
Yeah.
Or when Sonya's riding the inflatable saying it tickles her
nice
vagina.
Vibration.
Yep.
Once again, the Berserkshires. Yep. But do we go to the Morgan house?
No, that's the next day. So the first night, some of the ladies get there and they go to dinner at this hotel, the Whately Hotel, which I want to go there. I'm like, this is beautiful. Yeah, so we actually went to Great Barrington last summer.
That's right. For
Dan's show. And the Berkshires are it is really beautiful there. Like I didn't understand that it was just like this, like it's very much in the middle of nowhere and it's just vast. Like it's stunning. Like
so green.
Yes, so green. Yeah. And I'm sure and apparently Bluestone Manor, which was named on the show. So the reason it's called Bluestone Manor is because Carol, who is not on the show anymore and this season, like the first season they're on, Dorinda's like, we need to name this like something. And they named it Bluestone Manor. So now it's like called Bluestone Manor, but it was named from the show, which is kind of fun.
Oh, fun.
It's gorgeous.
Apparently, and like, go ahead, Kix.
I was just going to say, it's so pretty. And she does renovate in 2019, I think, 2020. Mm-hmm. Oh. So, which is nice because it didn't need an upgrade.
The fish room is no longer.
The fish room.
Oh, come on.
So let's talk about the fish
room. $25,000 fish room.
No, $250,000.
I was going to say. I feel like
$25,000 is not.
It's a lot.
No, but for a housewife, like it's $250,000. That's insane.
Yeah.
For what? It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
She kept saying taxidermy. So am I led to believe that those are.
Those are real.
No,
real
but. How does that work?
Real.
How does that work with fish?
Fish don't have like skin like the way. I mean, they do.
Yes, they do.
No, I know, but they don't have skin like the way like a stuffed deer would.
But like, you've seen like at a shitty bar.
I know.
On the shore.
But do they like laminate?
You've seen a full like a seal. Real. What
and
is
it's
it?
Like, it's like shellacked. It's got like some shine to it.
Yeah, it looks like they ran it through a laminator. Like, what do you? How do you get it? But how do you cut it open?
You just clean it. Like, I don't know. First of all, I want to be.
But how do you
clear.
Put it back together again?
You're not an expert on fish taxidermy.
I imagine that the side that it's mounted to has a slit in it.
Oh,
I'm sure they seal it.
I'm sure they literally open it to get some shit out and gut it, and then they put it back together a little.
But please, no. So I'm googling. How do you? And then I write tax. The first, like, Google first thing, taxidermy fish. It's like the first thing that came up. Well, let's see. So with skin mounting, the taxidermist carefully peels off the scaled skin of the fish.
What did I just say?
That natural covering is then treated with a preservative and reapplied to a styrofoam mannequin. It is then brushed with formaldehyde, and some parts, including the head, are also injected with formaldehyde. So they take the skin off, shlack it, and then put the skin back on. But the skin, fish skin feels so fragile to me.
Mm. Kix, this could be a new business venture.
Yeah, I know. You're a natural. You really knew all the steps.
Yes.
Couldn't you see Melinda just like doing this by hand?
Yes. Probably did. For sure. It's probably...
Yes, thank you. Thank you for bringing it out. Oh, it's God. Definitely
more. I still can't get over it's 200. What? And then she can't kept going. She's like, it's a little boy's room.
Yes.
Which I don't like that.
For me, yes, the fish are alarming on the wall, but even more so for me, it's the lack of anything else on the wall.
Just fish.
And the bed is bed. It's not even the bed.
No, but it's the lack of anything else in the room. Even on the wall. It's like there's a bed that's matches the color of the wall, which I don't think is a good idea.
And that glossy paint on the wall.
The green is so ugly.
Green paint. And then these two rando sharks?
No, there was more than two.
There was a shark and then there was a swordfish.
Listen, all that being said, though, I can't believe the
uproar that was caused about the fish room.
Well, like, Luann famously always throws a fit about a room. Like, Ramona her go-to.
Does. No, Ramona does.
So does Luann.
See, I feel like Luann
at Ramona's house gets put in the basement. She throws a fucking fit. There's this fish room. I feel like it's just like, because she is like this ex-countess, literally. She has this chest out energy that I can't.
So the next season after this, so y'all know, she does stay in the basement of Ramona's house and is mad. And she goes, good night from the lower level.
She's like, if she's not in the master suite, forget it.
I mean, and how rude of Dorita. I mean, not Dorita, Dorinda. Sorry.
Steven. I hope you know there is a house on Beverly Hills named Dorit.
Oh, there is. Okay. Yes. All right, sorry. Dorinda. Yeah. Uh-huh. How rude of Dorinda not to remember that Luann had previously been
blackout drunk in that room.
Exactly, exactly. How rude of her.
Oh my God. These women are crazy I just love them so much.
Luann, you've been blackout drunk all over the Upper East Side, but you still live there. If we're going to eliminate places that you've been blackout drunk, you might as well move to a different country at this point. Because you all know that you know that she was arrested for assaulting a police officer, right? On Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Oh, I did not. I did not.
Yeah.
Bethany had really took care of her, gave her a lawyer, put her in a facility.
What happened, though,
the drama is that Bethany's like, why is this woman being so mean to me? I literally had just helped her rescue her life.
Right. Well, what quick recap of everything that happened. So she gets arrested and then she got married and everyone was like, this guy's a bad guy, ends up getting divorced 2 months after getting married. Then she goes to Palm Beach, which is where he was living at the time. And she's sad. She's going through this divorce and she finds out that he's throwing a party that night. Instead of going to the party, obviously she stays at her own hotel, gets blackout drunk, went into a stranger's hotel room thinking it was hers. And they called the police. The police get there and she is pushing the police around being don't fucking touch me. I'll kill you. All this stuff. So they arrest her. So then she gets out of jail. It's just a one-night thing, obviously. And because she's white. Yeah. And the countess. And then she is she couldn't drink she had probation. And so she broke probation multiple times, ended up getting blackout drunk again. And then her kids ended up suing her because there was this custody thing over assets. And so that's when she lost it. And Bethany and Barb, who was not on the show at the time, but was very close to her at the time. They swooped in and took her to rehab. We then find out in this episode though, Bethany's Or when are we going to talk about the fact that you're supposed to still be in rehab, but you... No, she was, like, supposed to be in rehab, but, like, left early because of a cabaret show, which she now also is a cabaret singer.
Yeah. Wasn't she in Chicago?
No.
Was she?
Never.
But there was a hot wife.
Yes, Erica Jane was in Chicago. Funny enough, Luann actually does say, and I think this reunion, she's like, I'm announcing today that I'm going to be joining the cast of Chicago. She actually says this. And then... Oh. The Broadway show Chicago is like, man, huh?
I'd like to see her in any role, specifically Mama Morton.
Yeah, no, yeah, that feels right.
She's made for that vocally, yeah. Too.
Certainly.
You're familiar with her songs, right? Money Can't Buy You Class.
Oh, of course.
Right. Yes. Money can't buy you class, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, that's it. Exactly it. So,
sorry, that was a little history on Luann. Go ahead, Kix.
So we get just the women arriving, which is always such a joy to me, because on every season of any reality TV show, everyone fights about a room. And we obviously see that. But the moment when Dorinda was like, I think this is going to be the perfect dinner spot because Luann's going to meet us here. She gets to come in and have her moment of arrival. And like the producers did her so dirty of her like walking and being like, hey.
Yes.
It's so, oh God, she's delusional.
Oh my God. And then what about Ramona and Sonia and this like awful laugh? They're like, you got the fish room.
Yeah. It goes on for so long.
That's edited, right?
And the sound.
No, I think that's just real. Them doing that.
That
for
was
like
5 minutes straight of them cackling.
They're monsters.
They're awful.
Yeah.
No, they sounded like true monsters.
No, go ahead.
No, the whole episode just felt bad for Dorinda.
I know. She really was trying really hard because
she really was.
Her and Luann had a really dark season the season prior where she said, go get arrested again. Keep drinking. You'll get arrested again. Something like that. Not great. Yeah.
Not great. But I can't.
Go ahead. Oh, no, sorry. What's your question?
I was just going to say, I only know Dorinda from these three episodes, but do we like her generally? It feels like she is the most.
She's like one of our favorite housewives.
Okay. Good, yeah. Good.
She's unhinged, but.
These were some really good Dorinda episodes. You didn't get Dorinda because usually she gets drunk and she gets a lateral lift.
She's
like, don't fucking say that when you think that you're good.
I need to see
she
that.
She says in the season prior, she says to Candace Bushnell, do you know who Candace Bushnell is? The woman who like wrote Sex and the City, like the books. Okay. She like created Carrie Bradshaw. Yeah. So for some reason, she's like at a dinner party with some of the housewives. And Dorinda goes up to the Candace Bushnell and she's like, I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well, bitch.
Okay, understood.
You got a very mellow Dorinda.
Yeah, okay, she seemed really calm, cool, collected.
Yeah, because I think she was trying really hard to entertain and make things right with Luann. And
so
they
hard.
Did. We rarely see Dorinda apologize like this.
Okay.
Because she usually kind of like skirts around apologies. Most housewives do. But this was very genuine because she has known Luann for so long. All of these women are really actually friends.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what's so fun about Roni is that they're hanging out because they want to be, not because they're being paid to be, which is like sometimes different on other shows.
Sure. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
A sad friendship thing though. This is so Barb and Luann have been friends for a long time, and the season of Housewives ended their friendship. Like they don't speak anymore. Like Luann openly hates her because at the reunion, Barb says, "Well, Luann, you're no Adele."
She's right, though. She is right.
She's right. And
although I would love to hear her sing Easy on Me.
Easy on Me, baby. That was it.
Easy on Me, baby.
I don't know. The register of her voice truly is so low.
Yeah.
Deep.
Yeah.
Deeper than any man I know.
Yeah, certainly.
There are earlier seasons where they call her Luann.
So bad. It's so fucking bad.
So they're fighting over the fish room. The next morning, they're still fighting over the fish room. But Dorinda, in another effort, because her and Sonia have had a bumpy past as well, she's to make an effort with Sonia, she's like, let's go to the Morgan house. So Sonia was married to JP Morgan's son. And I want you to... I want you to estimate, based on this episode, how long do you think that they were married for? Like, based on, like, her attachment.
Oh, 30 years.
Yeah, decades.
Yeah, 6 years.
I already thought it was kind of weird that, like, even if they had been married a long time, for her to have this, like, deep connection with her. Like, it's not her
the ancestors
family,
of the Morgans. It's
his family's, like, legacy.
Yeah, and they have a daughter together, so I think it's partially, it's like, this is my daughter's legacy, so it's like, in her mind, it becomes her blood legacy.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not how things work.
Yeah, no, I mean, the connection was...
I first thought that she was a Morgan.
Yeah, well,
by blood.
Not at all. But yeah, so there are still things that come up. But in this past season, she screamed at someone for she screamed at Ramona for banking at Wells Fargo because that's going against the family name.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah, she was like, you should be at JP Morgan Chase, not Wells Fargo, for your investments. Like, she was like, that's a slap in the face to my family name.
Wow. Wow.
She's attached.
Unbelievable.
And she can't sell her house that, like, she owned with him. It's sad. She needs
the apartment that they flash to that is, like, falling apart.
The falling apart one.
When she was having sex on the counter and it fell off.
Poor.
And the counter broke.
Was it plumbers? Right? I don't know.
She has interns that work for her that she doesn't pay. That they essentially just, like, wipe her ass. Like, they literally just, like, walk around. She lives in Grey Gardens. It's this, like, 5-story townhouse. And there was a season where Tinsley lived there with her. And there was also a season where Luann lived there with her.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have to do this full journey.
So when they're in the Morgan mansion, Ramona pulls Dorinda aside. She's like, we gotta get out of here. she's lost it.
Yeah, well, she's lost it.
Dorinda was like, what? Okay.
But meanwhile, Sonia's like touching, like, the walls, and she's like,
I feel the grandmother, like, I feel her presence.
It's so,
like,
fucking weird.
The letters and those damn letters. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, her hands go, like, when she yells about it at the dinner party later, she's literally, like, her hands are, like, possessed, and she's like, not the letter!
You don't touch
Does she really think that they would have, like, letters?
She
like,
did.
Official letters just out and about.
Right, yeah. Like, not in a case? Like, that's fake.
Literally.
Yeah, right.
Most of that house is fake. There's no way, that, like...
Of course.
Like, and then...
No.
Like, when she's pointing at the furniture, being like, see how the furniture hooks under? That's just like it is in my home. I'm like, you realize that, like, no, the Morgans isn't a furniture. Yeah, the Clawfeet. Morgan's not a furniture company. Like, they didn't make that furniture.
She's acting like being a Morgan is, like, her, like, culture.
Yes.
She's like, the culture and the impact of the Morgan design, finance,
and that
architecture.
She needs to keep it alive.
Yeah,
like, I need to keep it going. I have it in storage. I have this thing. I have to refinish it. Like, it's insane.
No, girl.
No.
Are y'all?
It's wild.
Attached to, like, stuff. Like, just like, are there family stuff that, like, really you are attached to? Like, I famously, I, like, am not, like, attached to places or things. I'm more attached to, like, human beings. But I don't know.
Not to be dark, but at this point in my life with my parents gone, I think there are things that I'm attached to, but not, like, a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, specific, like, I don't know, some, like, holiday things.
Yeah,
like,
I get
things
that
are attached to family tradition,
but
not, like, a couch.
Right.
Not a leg, the legs of a chair.
Yeah.
Both of our families tend to, like, collect things, so we've kind of gotten to the point now where we're like, oh, we can't be like them.
I think
that's kind of us.
Purge at all.
Mom and dad, but our grandmother, both grandmas, don't you think, Kix?
Yeah, both. Yeah,
like, real, like, we're both organized hoarders.
Exactly. I think it's the generation.
Get the hand-me-down, like, you have to make sure you keep this for the next person.
Well, especially, though, like, I mean, our grandparents coming out of the, like, depression time, I think, things, you know, they also, things were just so much better quality.
That is true. We actually do have. I just thought of this. We do have furniture in our home that is like
old as fuck.
Has been really passed old. Down through the family.
Yeah,
and it's still like.
But good. I don't look. Yes, no, it's gorgeous. But I don't look at it and be like, "That's the Peyton furniture."
Yeah,
the way the headboard is shaped on the corners is so Peyton. That's our mom's maiden name. But we have the Naked Chef dinner, which I thought was a hoot. I love, so cute
that chef that like his. The actual chef, I think, that was preparing the real thing is
he's
like very, very famous.
No, he was the chef for the Obamas the whole time they were in the White House.
Wait, the one that was managing them?
Not naked.
The older guy. He was the chef for the Obamas at the White House. I don't know if the whole time, but for a good amount of it. So we get to the dinner and they've been drinking all day long, baby. And you know when they're drinking because that's when Dorinda's lateral lisp starts to appear. Like she gets really slurry. She's like,
Sonia gets so like messy is a term people throw around about when people get wasted, but it really rings true. Like she is like. Walking funny, she's like talking loud, she's breathing. Making her drink water like she's literally 21 years old.
Exactly.
Like and messy.
Aggressive when people try to help her. She doesn't want it.
Yeah, no.
She's trying to like fuck everything and everyone, literally trying to fuck a
She almost snapped that dog in half.
She... R.I.P. Coco. She did die this year.
At the ripe age of 19, I believe, or 20. Yeah.
Whoa, good for him.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Ramona's like, oh, it's got another 2 years.
Is it a her or is it a him?
Coco is a.
She held that dog across Coco, her neck.
I don't know. Is it a boy or girl?
I think I heard someone say him in the episode, but then I thought it was a girl.
I think it's a boy.
That feels like a weird name for a boy dog.
But I see that for Ramona.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you think the movie? Coco was based on this? Coco?
She kept talking about how, like, oh, the poor dog doesn't have much time left. Yeah. I need to bring it everywhere.
Turns out
she did. She does bring that dog everywhere.
She does. Yeah. Usually, Coco defecates all over the Berkshires. Like every time Dorinda's like, literally every time Dorinda's like, when are you going to potty train Coco?
In Sonia's dog Marley, you see him a little bit too. They hang out a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Marley brings me a lot of joy.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Wait, so Bethany got there like during the day that day and they have a conversation about the rooms and Bethany's like pissed because she's like, I don't understand why. Bethany A is like, I'll sleep wherever. I don't care. Yeah. And just a little backstory. You learned much about it, but like she has very tumultuous relationships with men, finally found a guy that she like loved and he died of an overdose like days before
moments
they started
before
filming.
Yeah.
Like this is fresh. Like it had just happened. And I thought Dorinda was being so sweet, being like, she's going through a hard time. Like I'm going to give her like a nice room so she can, if anything this weekend can be like relaxing. And it's like, I don't understand how, and also she like helped single-handedly, like helped Luann like stay alive. And I'm like, why is Luann being such a little bitch about like, she's like, oh, so Bethany gets that wrong. I don't know. It's like, have some sensitivity. And Dorinda says, she says that you just have to know that Luann has no self-awareness, like as a friend, and just keep her at a distance. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's like kind of like an awful thing to say about her. But I don't think Luann has this... I don't think Luann, if she heard that about herself, like it would go one in one ear out the other.
Right.
Yeah.
She's just so self-absorbed and like she's such a monster.
Yeah, that's clear.
Yeah. Oof.
Well, when she was like, am I interrupting something? And she's like, kind of. So, I'm going in then.
Yeah, Bethany's like, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I really do miss
Bethany. I love Bethany. Yeah. And Tom, I mean this in the highest regard. Uh-huh. She reminds me of you.
Thank you.
It's a compliment. She's my favorite housewife, and also I don't know what it is.
Well,
she's like blunt.
She's blunt but loving.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, she really
is a Sag, okay. I believe.
Really?
Ooh, okay.
She, you know, she is in the headlines these days for being extremely transphobic. So I know, but it sucks. What sucks about it is like a lot of things, obviously, but like there's always talk of Bethany coming back to the show whenever she's gone. And she's just like continuing to reveal herself as like a fucking asshole. And it's like, really, like, and I think with her, I think she is honestly the best version of herself when the cameras are rolling. Like, I think she doesn't know how to exist. Like, it's okay. No, it's okay. I think she doesn't know how to exist without that, because like whenever she's off the show is when she has like so much like drama and nonsense in her life. But when the cameras are there, like she seems much kinder to me. Like she, like in this episode, she seemed so kind, you know. And she got there and she was mad about stuff, but she was like, and the way she like de-escalated Sonia, I'm like, she is empathetic somehow, but also still kind of like a monster. So I don't know.
Yeah, no,
she's a Scorpio, by the way.
Oh, Scorpio. That feels like it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, so we should talk about the moment of these episodes, which is don't touch the Morgan letters. I mean, it's crazy. I mean,
it escalates. It goes from zero to literally 3,000 in 5 seconds.
And then 3,000 to zero in about 10 seconds. Like
I don't know people like that in my life that like can go from here to there back to here. Like
it was unsettling.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's not the only time she does this either. Not in these episodes we're talking about, but like she tends to pop the fuck off and then kind of like back off a second later.
It was like college drunk girl, like,
yeah,
but messy. she doubles down. I encourage you to watch the reunion for this, because when Andy asked her about like that was like, do they really mean that much to you, she doubles down. She's like, the Morgan letters are sacred. And it's like, no, they're not.
It was her opportunity to be like, I was
wasted.
Well, right. She also blacks out, like I feel like she probably remembered this. She also watched it back, but like there's things that Bethany talks about her with the next day. And she's like, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. She's like,
we asked her if she remembered like yelling at Barbara, and I don't think she did.
Yeah.
Poor Barbara. Barb the Builder.
We get
this. She came in and swiftly was like, I gotta go.
Barb the Builder is like, oh, go to bed, y'all.
Yes.
She didn't even unpack her stuff. I think she literally slept in her jeans and then like woke up and left. No, yeah. So Bethany tries to de-escalate her, and then Ramona runs in. She's like, just so you know, the letters are not real. They made it up.
Oh,
and then
Bethany was like, stop talking about it.
And then
we're not talking about the letters.
And then Sonia, this is Sonia de-escalating. She goes, BS right. Fake fucking letters. Take some pressure off myself. Let's have fun. Take some pressure off myself. What does that mean? But the letters.
She's crazy. Yeah.
And then, y'all, Ramona puts on a slip.
I hated that. I think she was
trying to fuck the naked guy.
She said she didn't like him.
Didn't she not like his hairy ass? Yeah. Wasn't she the one?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, they all hated him except for, I feel like Bethany was the only one who was like, he's cute, it's fine. Yeah. Everyone else was disgusted by this. Poor man's butt.
Yeah, poor guy.
In fact, we made him a delicious meal.
I know. It looked beautiful. Well, there's something about slips to me. Like, I hate the word.
I don't like the word. I hate it.
Like, I don't want to see it. Like, I don't know why to me it freaks me out, but like, because she's just naked under there. I don't know. There's just something about it that feels like you. I can like smell the slip. So, yeah, so Ramona gets naked. Bethany's like, what the fuck is happening? This is when Bethany is like the Greek chorus of the show, which is so fun. Like, you cut to her, and she always has something hilarious to say about, like,
how
this is all playing out. So, I really do miss her. And then the girls go wild.
They really do.
And they start doing a selfie.
So,
video themselves.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so a little, like, history. They went on IG Live when they were filming this. So like we watched like that night like play out on Instagram, because they were like drunk on IG Live being like at the Berkshires, like, oh, I'm so wasted. Like that's where all that footage is from.
Is that allowed? Are they allowed to do that?
Definitely not. Like, I'm okay. sure that Bravo was first mad and then like, oh, this is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because they're not, because now they have really tight, like, things about, like, social media. Like, because sometimes, so there was drama because one of the housewives in Potomac went on IG Live and revealed all the stuff about the season and got like, fined, like, $5,000 or something. And so, like, now they, like, can't do a lot of, like, press and stuff while they're filming because, like, they're scared that they're going to, like, say shit about what's going on. So.
Yeah.
But they go wild. Sonia's holding the inflatable ghost on her vagina.
Oh, that, I, like, can't unsee that. I really didn't like that either.
Also, they were, like, scissoring in the chair.
Yeah.
They really
I've never
were.
Done that. Like, gotten so drunk where me and my girlfriends are just, like, doing that type of stuff.
Yeah. Right.
No, they also have been drinking since like 1 p.m.
all day.
But Laura, when we do that, we just end up crying and talking about life.
Exactly.
That's our end game when day drinking happens, I feel.
Yeah. Like. Exactly. Just, yeah. Absolutely accurate.
Well, that kind of brings us to the end of the ep. Is there anything like that any final thoughts on how you feel post seeing a Berkshire's episode? Like, do you feel different? Do you feel new? Do you feel
renewed,
revitalized?
Yeah, I thought this was I don't know, I just really enjoyed these three span of episodes. Like, I was
genuinely interested to know what happened next.
do you get it? Like, are you like, oh, I see why?
Yeah, I'm inspired to watch the series. I think we really will, because I feel like I watched some of it in the beginning. When it first came out, and then I hear about it, you know, of course, from
is
you guys.
Teresa Giudice, is she on this?
No, that's New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey.
You really, you asked us that before, too, because she's the one that flips the table, and I was like,
oh, is it Teresa Giudice?
Yeah, he's really
90 years old.
Well, it's either Giudice or Giudice. She says, her last name is both of them. Like, she'll sometimes be like in the beginning, she was Giudice, and then became Giudice, so.
Oh, that's fun.
I mean, it's the same word. Just people say it different ways, but it is not the way you said it.
Okay, good noted.
It is funny. It is so funny that you kept wanting to call Dorinda Dorito, because Dorit on Beverly Hills, people call her Dorito.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I just came. I also was calling Tinsley Tinsel.
that's okay. Yo, Tinsley. This cast was like the cast for like five seasons. Like, they didn't change anything, and like that kind of never happens. But like the seasons like 8, 9, 10, 11 are just like gold. They're so good, all of them.
Also, yeah, they were rough with Tinsley's boyfriend too.
Oh,
well, also, so, he also okay. doesn't sound great.
So Scott, the coupon king, as we call him, because he runs a coupon. He runs an app called like Coupon King something. I don't know. It's like one of those websites where you like put in, you like it, like it's like a thing you add to your browser. So when you're like checking out on online stores, it like auto puts coupons in for you.
Yeah.
So they got set up on camera on the show by this woman, Carol, who once again is no longer on the show. And then they started dating. And they've had this bizarre on and off relationship, essentially, because what they don't say is that he doesn't want to be on the show.
Oh, right.
And Tinsley is like, but this is my job. Like I can't not do this. Like, I have to be on the show. Right. So in the middle of season 12, she gets engaged to him and leaves the show, like mid-season, moves to Chicago where he lives to be with him. She just like decides, like, I'm committing to not being on the show anymore and being in this relationship. And then a couple months later, they broke up.
Yeah.
So she left the fucking show for nothing. And it's really like sad.
Yeah.
That she like did all this for a man that like, wait, well, we hope she comes back. I think she probably will. Because she's good friends with still a lot of them that are on the show, but, it's kind of sad, but these women all have just wild like story arcs. Like,
yeah,
all of them. Like Ramona, I don't know if you know, like her husband, she walked in on Mario, her ex-husband, like cheating on her with a younger woman in their Hamptons home.
Ooh.
Sonia had a toaster oven that she was trying to sell.
Is it a Morgan?
It is. Yeah, it has the clawed feet.
Oh, of course. Good.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. This is so fun. I love you. I love you both.
I love this. Love you too. This was really fun.
It was really fun. We'll do a rewatch. Maybe we can come on again in like a year after we rewatch.
Yeah, exactly. Seems like, when we do.
So when you want me on again?
So like when we're like you know,
do you have any availabilities like in December? I'd be happy to come on again then if you're interested.
Are we like recurring characters or like what, guest stars, co-stars? Where are we at?
Right. Co-stars? Oh my god,
that's only like a few lines.
Friend of, you're a friend of the pod.
We're friend of. Yeah. We don't get an apple.
No apple. No apple. That's... But you do show up, and we well, I'm not paying you, but.
Sorry. Well, what would your saying be?
My tagline.
Yeah, you know, a saying.
I don't know. I don't ever. I could never think of one. People ask. I need to think of some.
Yeah, I don't know what mine would be either. But
I love this. This season has funny taglines because the Tinsley's tagline doesn't make any sense. She's like, "Game set. Now I need a match," but she like never plays tennis. So like, I don't even know like what that means.
Oh man!
And then Sonia's is like the best of all time, where she's like, "People call me over the top, but I prefer to be be a bottom."
Yeah. Do they change every season? Yes. The tagline for them? Oh, okay. That's nice for them.
In the beginning, I think they kept them the same. And then, like, I think around, like, season 3 or 4, they started doing, like, every season is a new one. They're in Salt Lake City. There's a woman whose tagline, she is a minister and kind of borderline runs a cult. And her tagline is, "If you come for me, I will send Jesus after you." And then there's another woman whose tagline is, I'm going to deliver it exactly how she says it. She goes, "You don't have to like me. I love myself for the both of us." Like, she says it just like that. It's hilarious. Some of them are so funny. But,
oh, I love that.
Well, tell everyone where to find you both.
Oh, find us.
Do you want them to go to your Instagram?
Yeah. Oh, you mean like our socials?
Yeah, we got a plug. You don't want people to.
No, I can't. I mean, I'm so bored. I haven't posted on social media on like the grid. And
well, you're not really selling yourself here, but
if you have children that want to do theater,
yeah, call us up. Stephen Markarian at Stephen Markarian on Instagram.
Yep.
And now I'm embarrassed of my childhood screen name.
You should have changed.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's your childhood screen name.
Oh, sure. Well, that was a post. I did change it as a child. It used to be Skittles 5149. Oh, but now, Lawface.
My username was Spud 147.
Yeah, I knew that.
As in the potato. That.
Yes. Stevie Wood. That was mine.
Stevie Wood. Okay, yeah, but now it has a bit of a different connotation. It feels like referring to like a hard dick.
Yeah.
But it's Stevie. I couldn't get like the normal spelling of Stevie, so it had to be Steevy.
Stevie Wood.
I really don't like that at all.
And on that note,
we'll say bye to listeners. Bye.
Bye listeners.